and even got down on the ground with them a little bit, and had a time getting back up. But it was a start of something, and we realized that we have to invest in our young people, amen. And that's what we're trying to do. So be in prayer for a high school encounter, and be in prayer for Illuminate with Katie and Roger as they try to get the younger kids involved. Next week, I want to preach a sermon on giving thanks in the hard times. And we've had some, haven't we? So be prepared for that. But this morning, I want to talk about the parable of the persistent widow. If you have your Bibles, turn over to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, go focus on verses 1 through 8. And while you're turning there, let me tell you about the little old lady who had fallen on hard times. And she was struggling to put food on the table. So what did she do? She started praying. As a matter of fact, every single morning she would go out to her porch and she would pray, "Lord, please help me provide food for my family. I've fallen on hard times." Well, her neighbor was an atheist, didn't believe in God, and he would continue to harass her, and he would say, "Nobody's listening to you. There is no God." And she'd say, "Yes, there is," and she'd ignore him, and she'd continue to pray, "Lord, help me to provide food for my table." And she'd pray that every single morning. Well, one Sunday she had to leave the house, and the crafty little neighbor gathered up some groceries, took them over, and put the groceries on her porch. And when she came home, she was overjoyed. She started praising God, "Lord, thank you for providing these groceries for my table." Immediately, the atheist ran over to her house and said, "God didn't provide that for you, I did." And immediately she fell to her knees and she said, "Lord, you provided for my needs and you got the devil to deliver them for me." I like that one, don't you? Well, this morning I want to talk to you about the power of prayer. Let me ask you a question as we begin. How many of you believe in prayer? How many of you have seen the power of prayer not only in your own life but in the life of your family and in the life of your church? I want you to know prayer is one of the greatest things that we have as Christians because we can go to God the Father anytime we want and we can pray to Him. We don't have to appear before a priest anymore like they did in the Old Testament. We can go directly to the Father because of what Jesus did for us on the cross over 2,000 years ago. Well, this morning as I talk about prayer, I want to reinforce prayer. I want to give you some ABCs of prayer that maybe you've neglected in your own life. And we've definitely fallen in some hard times. But you know what I've noticed when we fall in hard times? Oftentimes our prayer life goes down the tube. I want to encourage you not to let that happen. Let's read Luke 18, 1 through 8. It says, "Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, in a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about men. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, 'Grant me justice against my adversary.' For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, 'Even though I don't fear God or care about men, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I'll see that she gets justice, so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming.' And the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says, and will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?'" Now, there are a couple things that you need to know if you want to write them off to the side somewhere, you can. First of all, this judge in this parable does not relate to God our Father. This judge was an unjust judge. He was a judge that did not care about God. He cared only for himself. And this judge does not represent God. We pray to a just God, amen? He loves us and he wants to hear from us. And second of all, you need to know something about widows and orphans in that day. They were oftentimes neglected. As a matter of fact, a few weeks ago in the book of Acts chapter 6, we talked about how they chose 7 men to take care of who? The widows and orphans, so the apostles could stick to the preaching of God's word. So you need to know that. These widows had fallen on hard times, but this was a very persistent widow. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us what her problem was. It doesn't tell us anything about her adversity, but it does tell us that she was persistent in what she said. Have you ever had someone nag you and nag you and nag you? Now, don't you dare say my spouse. Don't ever say that, because you could get yourself in a lot of trouble. But maybe your nagger is someone who calls you on the telephone and tells you, you need this, or you need that, you need this, you need that, and they call you over and over and over. When I was ministering at Buck Creek Christian Church in Indianapolis, Indiana, I had this company that kept calling me over and over and over, and they would call me every week. And they would call me for months upon months and upon months. And I finally said, well, actually, I said it several times, I'm not interested. Please stop calling me. Guess what? They never stopped calling me. So I did what any Christian minister would do. There was a blowhorn in the closet of my office. And the next time they called, I laid on the blowhorn. Now, they didn't call me anymore. So now, don't you go out and buy a blowhorn at Walmart after a while. Because you need to remember something. These people were bugging me to death, and I didn't know what else to do. Well, the point's very simple. Some people are going to bug you and bug you and bug you until they get what they want. That was the case of this persistent widow. And she bugged this judge, and she bugged this judge, and she bugged this judge, and finally said, woman, you are wearing me out. And he gave her what she wanted. Now, friends, I want you to know something. When it comes to God, our righteous judge, God wants us to pray to him. Now, I'm not telling you to bug him to death, but I am telling you that we need to have a consistent prayer life, and we need to come to him, not weekly, just on Sunday. We need to come to him every single day of our life, and you need to get in the habit of praying. And this is what I found. It's easy to get out of the habit of praying. And just like you talk to your spouse, that's the same way you need to talk to God. And the time you spent with your spouse needs to be about the same time you spend with God. God wants to know that we're going to talk to him. Now, if you're taking notes this morning, I want to give you some ABCs about your prayer life and what you need to be doing if you want to improve your prayer life. Number one, always ask in the name of Jesus when you pray. Always ask in the name of Jesus when you pray. In John 14, 13 through 14, Jesus says, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, underline that, so that the Son of God may bring glory to the Father, and may ask me for anything in my name, and I will what? I will do it. Now notice here that Jesus did not say you could pray in this particular way or this particular way. He said, I want you to pray in my name. Pray in my name so that God the Father receives the glory through your prayers. I've noticed something when I pray. Oftentimes, I want something. Anyone else? I want something. Lord, I want a new pickup. Lord, I want a new house. Lord, I want some new clothes. And God says, you got plenty of clothes in the closet. You got a truck. Yes, it makes noises, but it still runs. It works. You got a new house. You don't need all this stuff. So I am often guilty of praying because of stuff that I want instead of praying for what God wants for my life. We have to be careful of that. You heard me say this before. When you pray, sometimes God says what? No. Sometimes God says yes. And sometimes God says what? Wait a minute. And we also talked about how a day is like 1,000 years in the sight of Christ. So some of you have been praying, you've been praying, you've been praying. I want to encourage you to keep on praying because God will answer your prayers in the way he wants them to be answered in his name for the glory of God. Remember that. And it may not be the way you want them answered, but I believe that God always answers our prayers. Anybody believe that? He always answers our prayers, and it's always in his timing. Timing is everything. And if you're anything like me, I want my prayers answered when? I want them right now. And when I pray, Lord, I want this and I want it now. And when I don't get what I want, you know what I do sometimes? Stop praying. How many of you do that? You admit to that? Stop praying. And you pray for something else. But we need to be persistent in our prayer lives, and we need to keep on praying. James 4:3 says, when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with the wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your own pleasures. Be careful what you pray for. Be careful who you pray for. And here's another thing. Be prepared to get your prayer answered. It may not be the way you want it answered, but it will be in the way that God wants it to be answered. And when you pray, you need to ask this question. Is my prayer request a want or a need. And in my prayer request, am I giving glory to God or am I giving glory to myself? So remember, the next time you pray, pray in the name of Jesus for the glory of God the Father. And when you do that, your prayer life will improve. Number two, when you pray, believe God will answer when you pray. Mark 11:24 says, therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in what? In prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. Here Jesus is talking about faith in prayer. And in the previous verse, back up if you have Mark 11 open, he says, have faith in God, because I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, go and throw yourself in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that's what will happen, then it'll be done for him. Now, if you're like me, you're doing this already. You're already doubting. I'm thinking, really? God cannot cause this mountain to come jump in this sea. How many of you already doubted? When you hear those words, you doubt. When we pray for someone who is sick, and when the elders come and lay hands on them, there's a prerequisite. Here, number one, you have to have prayer from the elders. Number two, you have to have prayer from the person being prayed on. And I believe if you have that, the Bible says that person will become well. Now, here's what I've noticed. Somebody in the group has lost faith in prayer. They don't really believe that God can do it. We had a neighbor back in Clay City a few years ago. Her name was Joy, and I don't know if Chink can remember her last name. But everybody in town was praying for her. She had stage 4 cancer. They gave her only a few months to live. And everybody in town began to pray for her. About the 6-month mark, she went back to the doctor. You want to know what happened? No cancer. Absolutely no cancer. Now, I was dumbfounded. I said, how can you not have any cancer after they give you a prognosis of just a few months to live? Well, my conclusion is this. I believe God intervened. I believe that God listened to the prayer of Clay City, Illinois, in the Methodist Church, the Baptist Church, the Christian Church. Everybody was praying. And I want you to know that God answers prayers if we just have faith. Friend, God can do whatever He wants with whoever He wants, whenever He wants to do them. God can do what He wants to do. And if we would just have faith when we pray, I believe there will be all kinds of miracles happen in our life. Katie shared with us some statistics, but I want to share with you another one. The average Christian prays how many minutes a day? 3. And we expect a mountain to move, and we expect a person to get healed, and we expect things to happen in our life when we don't even pray except 3 minutes a day. I want you to know, we ought to be ashamed of ourselves. Matthew 7:7-8 says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who receives, he seeks, finds. And whoever knocks, the door is what? The door is open. Now there's a disclaimer here of what Jesus is saying. And it has to do with the passage we read in James 4:3. When you pray, make sure you pray with the right motives. And be persistent in your asking, in your seeking, and your knocking. So that neighbor that don't come to church, keep praying. That neighbor that won't come, keep seeking God. That neighbor that won't come, keep knocking. Keep knocking, do the very best you can, because you need to realize something. If that person don't come to Christ because of me, they're probably not going to come at all. That's a disclaimer. Keep doing it. Number three, the C in our prayer life is this. When we pray, we must call upon the Lord in accordance to His will. 1 John 5, 14-15 says, this is a confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask of, we know that we have what we have asked for. The emphasis here is God's will, not our will. When we pray to God, we don't demand something, we ask God of it. Have you ever said this? God, I want this. God, I'm upset. I'm mad if you don't give it to me. I want it, and I want it when? I want it now. Now, we don't come right out and say it like that, but we sure do act like that sometimes. If God doesn't do this for me, I'm not going to come to church anymore. If God doesn't do this for me, I'm not going to tithe anymore. If God doesn't do this for me, I'm not going to take the Lord's Supper anymore. And we have these disclaimers about what we want, and if God don't give them to us, we become impatient and upset. I have noticed that as I get older, I become more impatient. Anyone else? I am a microwave Christian. When I pray, I want it to be answered now. When I tell my kids to do something, I want them to do it right now. When my wife tells me to do something, she wants me to do it right now. I have found myself waiting at the microwave like this. Come on, hurry up. And I think that's the way our prayer life is sometimes. In Luke 22:42, even Jesus, when he didn't want to go to the cross, he prayed to his Father, Lord, if it be your will, please take this cup from me. And you know what happened? God didn't allow that prayer to take place. But I also believe that God allowed that prayer to be answered in a different way. He knew that Jesus had to go to the cross to atone for you and I's sin, but he also knew that on the third day that Jesus was going to rise from the dead to the glory of God the Father. Amen? And that's what we need to pray. Lord, not my will, but your will be done. Say it with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God did not answer his Son in the way that his Son wanted him to answer him, but he did answer his prayer. And that's why you and I are here today, because of that. In Matthew 6, 9 through 13, I want you to turn there and say it with me. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We call this the Lord's Prayer, but it isn't really the Lord's Prayer. Actually, it is the disciples' prayer. Actually, it is our prayer. The Lord is saying, this is for you. You're the one to pray, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. It's for us. And a lot of people are mistaken when they refer to this as the Lord's Prayer. It's not the Lord's Prayer. It's our prayer. And that's the way we're supposed to pray. We're supposed to pray in faith that the Lord will do whatever he wants to do in his timing and the way he wants it to be answered. So the next time you pray, make sure you call upon the Lord and make sure that there is nothing against anyone that you have in your life, and make sure that you pray in accordance to the Lord's will. Number four, the D in our prayer life is delight yourself in the Lord and commit your ways to him. Psalm 37, 4 through 5 says, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your ways to the Lord, trust in him, and he will do it. Now, what does it mean to delight yourself in the Lord? I'm glad you asked. Here's what it means to delight yourself in the Lord. It means to have great pleasure and joy to be in the mere presence of the Lord. Let me ask you a question. How many of you have delight when someone that you haven't seen for a long time shows up at your doorstep? A son or a daughter, a grandson or a granddaughter lives a long way away, and they show up at your door and they knock on the door, and you come to the door and you almost faint because you haven't saw them for 10 or 20 years. How about when a military man or woman shows up at their mom's doorstep? What do? They delight themselves in the presence of the person that they love that they haven't saw for so many years. That's the way in our prayer life we ought to be. When we come before God, we delight ourselves in the Lord's presence. We feel good. We feel cheered. We're delighted. I want you to remember this if you don't remember anything else. When your prayer life is what it's supposed to be, as a privilege and not a duty, there is great delight when we come before the Lord. I want to encourage you today to take the time and the place to talk to God. If you're struggling in your prayer life, write this down. Make a list. And go down the list and pray for each and everything on your list. And make it become a habit. But when it becomes a habit, it will also become a delight. It'll be something that you want to do. One of my favorite movies is War Room. Anybody seen it? It's a great movie about prayer. It's about a lady who was going through hard times, and even in the midst of hard times, she started praying every day, and she made a list, and she put these things all over her closet wall. Remember that? And I thought it was funny, because when she taught Tony Evans' daughter, I can't remember her name, when she taught her how to pray, her daughter thought she was nuts. She was spending all this time in the closet, and she'd have all these things scattered all over the walls, and she said, "Mom, are you okay?" I remember one time during the movie, she walked in there, and she had her shoes off, and her feet stunk to high heaven. And she said, "Mom, you stink." I know, honey, I know. But this is my time alone with God, and I'm trying to spend time with Him. In 1 Thessalonians 5:18, the Apostle Paul says, "Pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Now, when Paul says pray continually, he's not saying get up in the morning and pray 24/7. He's not saying that at all. What he is saying is this: always be in the spirit of prayer. The greatest evangelist in our brotherhood who lived many years ago, Charles Spurgeon, wrote this: "A Christian should always carry a weapon of prayer like a drawn sword in his hands, and we should never sheath it. Instead, we should always be ready to offer supplications to God." I want you to think about that. I think Charles Spurgeon's right. You should always have a sword in your hand, and it should be the power of prayer. When something wrong goes in your life, you need to pray. When something right goes in your life, guess what? You need to pray. You need to offer your praise instead of offering always to God, "Lord, help me do this. Lord, help me do that." How come we do this? How come we pray when we're laying on our back, yet when things are going great, we don't pray? Have you noticed that? I have. Things are going bad in my life, I spend a lot of time in prayer. When things are going great in my life, I fail to do this sometimes. "Lord, thank you for the blessings in my life." So here's an assignment for you. The next time you pray, spend 5 minutes thanking God for all the blessings that He gives you. And then after you get done thanking Him for all the blessings that He gives you, spend time praying for the prayer concerns that you have. And here's another thing. If we only pray three minutes a day, maybe we need to do this. Maybe we need to talk about prayer concerns less, and we need to talk about prayer more. Have you noticed that? I have. So oftentimes when we meet on prayer, and sometimes we do this on Tuesday, I don't think we mean to do this, but we'll spend, so I got a frog in my throat, we'll spend a half an hour talking about prayer, and then what do? We'll spend 10 or 15 minutes praying. So, well, maybe we could do better. One of the things that I struggle with is praying on the phone. Some of you had surgery, and sometimes I'll pray with you, sometimes I won't. But I thought, man, that's really cheesy. But you know, whenever I do it, I feel so much better doing it. And I know that during this pandemic, that's probably what I need to be doing. When we have someone going in for surgery, I need to get on with you on the phone. I need to pray for you. But I'm still struggling with that. But that's what I need to do. I'm also convinced that if we pray like we should, I believe this coronavirus could go away. I don't think we need a vaccine, do you? I think we just need to be on our knees praying, and I believe God, in our faith, in prayer, could make this thing disappear. So the next time you wait on a virus, just spend time praying. As a community in Lawrenceville, Illinois, we need to spend time praying. In our government, we need to spend time praying. In our family's life, we need to spend time praying. And I believe that God wants to do immensely more than we can ever hope or imagine if we'll just have a spirit of prayer. I want to close with this. The other day I was reading about a young boy. He was watching a holy man praying on the banks of a river near India. When the holy man had completed his prayer, the young boy came up to him and he said, "Sir, will you teach me how to pray?" The holy man began studying the boy's face, and he began touching him very carefully. And then he gripped the boy's head in his hands, and he plunged the boy's face down into the water, and he held it there, and he held it there, and he held it there, and this boy was struggling, trying to get air. Finally, the holy man released the grip on the boy's head, and he came up out of the water, and he said, "Sir, why did you do that? Why did you do that?" And the holy man said these words: "I just gave you the first lesson in prayer." "What do you mean?" the boy asked. "Well," said the holy man, "when you long to pray, as you long to breathe, when your head is underneath the water, only then can you understand the power of prayer." as we come to our time of decision, I have to ask you this. How's your prayer life? How are you doing? How much time you spend daily bowing a knee to God and praying to Him? Because if we only spend 3 minutes a day in prayer to our Father, do we ever expect anything to happen? Do we ever expect Him to answer any of our prayers? I don't think so. And like this persistent widow who came over and over and over to the judge, we need to come over and over to God. And we need to ask Him, Lord, please answer my prayer. Please answer my prayer. Friends, I want you to know today, do not squander the privilege you have in coming to the Father in prayer. Amen? Let's pray together. Father God, prayer is something we all struggle with. Lord, I realize that when Jesus prayed, it was an example for His disciples. Not an example for Himself. He already knew how to pray. Lord, I realize it was an example for us. Lord, my prayer is this morning, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray, Lord, so that when we pray in good faith. And when we pray in good faith, Lord, wonderful things will happen. Not only in this church, but also in this nation. Lord, teach us to pray. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.